It is a Tuesday morning broadcast. Great to have you aboard. A reminder, when you go to artscroll.com, make sure to use promo code radio. When you go to artscroll.com, you know the rule. Always use promo code radio for your free shipping and major discounts. And everything that's being offered now at artscroll.com is subject to that same rule. Use promo code radio, free shipping, major discount. One of the things we are recommending, one of the items, one of the offerings, is the brand new book by Rabbi Fischel Schachter. Did This Ever Happen to You? That's the name of the book. Did This Ever Happen to You? Stories, observations, and humor from a world-class Rebbe and speaker. Rabbi Fischel Schachter, an honor to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, here's why, I'm sorry for laughing, but here is why the title of your book is so appropriate. Because when it comes to some of the stories you tell in this book, literally, I think they only happen to you. And when you ask the question, did this ever happen to you? I think you know the answer. It seems like you're one of the only people who has episodes like this happen to them. The most recent one that I set aside for myself for this morning's conversation was the one I saw when you went to pick up your car in a Manhattan garage. Do you remember that one?
Actually, I don't.
The one where the parking attendant, you were a little frustrated that he was taking a long time to get your car, and the parking attendant revealed to you that the recording that was playing in your car was so amazing he had to stay until the end to hear the life lesson that was being taught.
I know, it was really amazing. I mean, that young Mexican gentleman listening to a Baal Shem Tov story, so you know, like it's one of those things that only one Rabbi Shlomo knows how to put things together. Yeah.
So that's why I say, when you ask if this ever happened to you, I wonder if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I mean, I think I have a unique life where these things just keep popping up and keep happening to me. Because a lot of things, and look, the story I just alluded to is a good example. A lot of these things do happen to people, including myself, once in a while. It seems like this is happening on a regular basis to someone like yourself.
Okay, so people always say to me, how come these things only happen to you?
Right.
Why doesn't it happen to me?
All right.
Right, so I get that question all the time. So first of all, maybe they do happen to you, just don't notice it, okay, because I'm on the lookout for it. Second of all, the fact that I'm a little bit ADHD and it must look like a little bit fachulim, the way they say, I think it helps, you know. You wind up, if you don't always think what you're doing, you wind up locking yourself out of your car and things like that. So I do, I am a little bit distracted in my focus. But I think that the derech she'adam writes a leilach malicha, they say where a person wants to go, that's where they guide him. And I've just learned every time something really, really goes like sour and I drop my keys in the sewer or right before Shabbos when I'm on the way to Muncie or things like that. And every frustration, the silver lining is, hey, this is a story. Hey, it's great. I mean, it's great. Someone starts yelling at me in shul. I always remember the time that I don't do this often, though, but I once by mistake spilled a coffee onto someone
right. In
shul in the coffee room. And the person was really, really upset. And I apologized profusely, and I said, I'll pay for the cleaning bill. And he said, no, that's not my problem. My problem is I'm going to wind up in one of your stories now. That's my problem. Looks like his fears were justified. Yes, that's
what
it appears.
Because somehow it made it into the book, right?
Right.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me how so many of the, I don't want to say remedies, I don't know if that's the right word, but so many of the necessary things for a story are prepared beforehand. You have a story here about the, it's called, you name it, Following the Scent. The gentleman who's, how do I put this? He's looking for a shidduch and... I'm trying to see here what the ending was to the story. But
you tell me the beginning, I'll remember the ending, yeah.
Well, it was a stopover in London, you remember that? And the guy never wanted to fly on a plane.
Right. The guy never wanted to fly on a plane and he had to go out for a shidduch
right.
And he was petrified and he didn't speak English and he got in and he He hears the person standing in front, you know, giving all the instructions, and he's asking someone to translate. When you translate it, it sounds even worse. Well, in case, you know, we crash into the water, there's the flotation device underneath your seat. In case you run out of oxygen.
Just what he needed to hear, right?
Drop down.
Just
right, that's all he needed to hear. He was, at that point, he was running out of oxygen. You know what I mean? And then to make matters worse, the pilot announced an emergency landing in London.
Right.
And he winds up being there. And whatever, to make a long story short, he's standing in front of the Satmar Bismedrish in Stamford Hill. He doesn't know where to go because they're stuck there for Shabbos.
Right.
Because they wouldn't be able to take off and be there. And a man says, well, what's up? What's the matter? So he says, I'm a bacher from Yerushalayim on the way to America for a shidduch. And he says, hey, what's your problem? You'll stay by me for Shabbos. And on Friday, they go to the, there was a Shatzer Rebbe that was buried in London. And he told people, if you come to me on Friday and you're mekabel upon yourself an inyan for Shmir Shabbos, so I'll put in a good word for you.
Right.
He said, so come with me. So he came. And the bacher says, look, I was born late. You know, this is my thing. All my friends are married already. And this is where I am. He says, you know what? He says, I'm a Kabbalah upon myself. 10 minutes before Shkia, I don't do any malacha.
Right.
That's his Kabbalah. Make a long story short, I'll skip all the gory details, but the next Friday, because he winds up in Muncie right before the next Shabbos, that's after taking the bus to Lakewood or to Philadelphia first.
Now listen, wait a second. Listen carefully, everybody. Listen to what happens to this guy. Go ahead.
So he comes in, his uncle and aunt, he's staying with him. They say, what's with you? It's almost Shabbos. He said, quickly put on your bekesh, your Shabbos robe, and come to shul. He says, I want to take a shower. I want to go to the mikveh. He says, listen, first come to shul, because you miss mincha. So he opens, he pops his suitcase. They already left the shul. And he sees that his mother, Zizan Gazitenstark, wanted to make sure that, you know, he's going for a shidduch. So she put in this huge thing of jumbo-sized piece of toothpaste.
Right.
And it plots in the suitcase.
Right, so it ruins his bekesh.
Is dripping white.
Right.
Used to be people had white bekeshes on Shabbos, but right. Only that was intended to be white, right? So he grabs a brush and he wants to brush it off. And he remembers it's 10 minutes before Shkia, and it's questionable whether you can do that on Shabbos. And there was no one else in the house that can do it for him. But he can't come into shul with a bekesh dripping with toothpaste.
It'll look awful.
And he just stops there for a moment and he says, you know what? I took a Kabbalah upon myself. I'm sticking to it.
Right.
That's the way it is.
Right.
I know it's before Shkia. He says, look, I tried to get married. Tried to get married to who knows how many years with a clean bekesh. It didn't work. Maybe this is what it takes, you know? So he comes into shul, and as soon as he comes into shul, everyone goes, what is this, a dentist's office? What is going on over here? And he turns around, and he's so embarrassed.
Meaning the way it smelled, right.
The way it smelled, what he looked like.
Right.
He was mostly in the front.
Right.
So he stands up against the wall in the corner. He takes like the biggest siddur he can find.
Right.
And people are coming over to him to give him Shalom Aleichem. And he extends his hands without turning around. And every once in a while, someone says, what is that? What is going on here? And finally, after davening, everyone else leaves because he wants to be the last one in shul.
He doesn't want to be seen looking like that, right?
That's right. And there's one person that's standing in the back and he's just stubbornly standing there. And this guy is like, you know, it was Parsha Shemaisa. He's really Marv Sedra Shemaisa, everybody, the Shalach, he's in his butt and Shema Tetzavik. He's like, Yaakov Akude, Shir, Megillus Esther, Drus, you know, Megillus Echa, anything. Just finally, the guy finally leaves and he comes home. And his uncle is saying there was this crazy smell in shul. And all of a sudden, he walks in and they look at him and they go, it was you? What did you do? And he starts telling them about a Kabbalah that he made 10 minutes before Shabbos. And they're saying to him, are you out of your mind? Anyway, suffice it to say, they got a call from the shadchan that the girl is not interested in the shidduch. Apparently, she did not want to marry a dentist, or whatever the case may be. Nothing against dentists, but she heard about the person with the toothpaste, and that was it. And they said, look what you did. You blew it. She said, you know what? I committed myself to something, and I'm holding to it, and that's just the way it is. And what should I tell you? It's the story of my life. At least I stood up to what I believe in. Anyway, they get another call, and another shadchan calls about another shidduch. It's not why he came to America, but he came from the shidduch number one. But anyway, They make the arrangements for shidduch number two. It pans out. They do the information. He meets once, twice. By chassidim, it goes quickly. Third time, there's a vart. His parents come in. And his new father-in-law gets up, and he says, I want to tell you why I did this shidduch. I wasn't even up to doing a shidduch for my daughter. But by me not talking during davening is like the worst thing in the world. And I came into a shul, just happened to come in, and I see this bacher standing in the corner, and not once did he turn around the entire davening. Not once! And even when people came over to give him shalom, he didn't even turn around to them. And not only that, after davening, he stood there for another hour and learned. I said, I need that bracha for a son-in-law. Guess what? He got him.
Now, right. So, of course he got him. Now, Rabbi Schachter, 1 second. And I'm allowed to laugh, by the way, because you do make a point that a lot of these stories are humorous. I mean,
right.
I mean, how many things How many twists and turns? When you know, we're very often we read books about, you know, great books about great stories, and you know, somewhat straightforward. How many twists and turns were in this story where finally the guy's able to, you know, find the shidduch because of this crazy situation where he was trying to hide his clothing, which was both looked and smelled as if he was in a dentist's office?
Right.
It's insane.
It's insane. But you I think if we click this into place, you can take most of the frustrations in your life and say, wait a second. God is not bopping me on my head.
Right.
He's giving me an opportunity.
Can we put this under the, and one of our favorite topics here, as everyone knows, is Amunah and Bitachon. Can we put this under that category? Is it serious enough to put these twists and turns under that category of faith and belief in the one above?
I think so.
It's pretty amazing.
People always say to me, is it a joke book or is it a serious book?
Right.
I said, humor opens the heart, right?
Right.
And so somebody once came over to me and said, you know, I heard your speech and it's Leitzanis. It's just Leitzanis. And what you're doing is you're a comedian and you're cashing it by putting in a lesson at the end. So I told him that next time he can come out direct with his criticism. It doesn't have to be so roundabout. You know,
not so subtle.
Right.
Do you start your presentations when you give a shiur, when you give a lecture, when you speak on Shabbos, do you start your presentations with Dafka, a funny story or a joke, or not necessarily?
Almost always. You can check me out on Torah anytime if you want. But yeah, almost always. It catches, you want to catch the crowd.
Right.
So I once asked one of my rebbeim, I said, so what then is the difference between simcha, which is really the origin of all bracha, right, and leitzanis, which is obviously not a good thing. So he gave me three rules. I said it from the old school rebbe, and I try to keep that in mind with every attempt at humor that I make. I'm not always successful. He gave me three rules. And one is that I never make a joke on someone else's expense.
Right.
Even remotely, if I have any have a minute that it's going to hurt somebody or that it says something not nice, even about a group of people and so on, I just stay away from that. And it has to be totally clean. And totally clean meaning not just by the standards of you know, it has to be edel, it has to be fine.
Right.
And the third is that my real kavan is not just in other words, litzanis means you want to knock something, you want to destroy something, you're not worth anything. And my real kavan is to make people happy. And once people are happy, they're going to listen.
Right. Big difference.
But if you start out a speech, right. It says in this week's Sedra that you should know your life is in big trouble. That's it. You lost everybody.
Yeah, I hear that. Rabbi Fishel Schachter is with us. We're highly recommending the book entitled Did This Ever Happen to You? Stories, observations, and humor from a world-class Rebbe and speaker. Go to artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code radio. Again, go to artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code radio. So God forbid, and I don't want you to have a day as like I'm about to describe, but God forbid your keys do go down the sewer. Are you able to do the Gamzu L'Tova? Are you able to look up to the sky and say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you felt that this was the best thing to happen to me today, to have happened to me today. So, let's see where this goes. Like, what's your attitude when a quirk goes into your normal daily schedule?
So for me, it's easier to say, oh, Baruch Hashem, another story. But honestly speaking, I think that before we get to the Gamzu L'Tova, I have to stop a second and have to say, okay, Hashem, you did this, okay?
Right.
Whether I understand it or not, whether I like it or not,
right,
whether it makes sense to me, I say, okay, it's you. It doesn't just happen. You did it.
Right.
And that has to be step number one. From there, you go on to the Gamzu L'Tova.
Does it help?
No, I don't.
Does it help with the panic? If it's 10 minutes before Shabbos and you're stuck in the middle of a traffic jam that's going to take an hour long, does it help with that panic? Or nonetheless, it does lend itself to the normal tense situation that one thinks they might be in a situation like that?
Look, I panic like anyone else does. I'm not above panic. And I always say, I heard this from every friend once, when the check engine light goes on in my car, I panic. And by me, it's a ner tamid, you know what I mean? But
it's permanent.
right. No, I panic like everyone else does, maybe even more so than everyone else does. But I just say, okay, you know what I mean? I don't know what I'm going to do,
right,
but Shabbos, I'm going to be okay. It's going to work. I always like to say the story that said to him that somebody came to the Shabina Rav and he told him that he was really in a crazy situation. Didn't seem to be any way out. And Shabina Rav said, let me tell you a story, okay? He said, it's early in the morning, and a man is going to Kaparis Erev Yom Kippur, and he's crossing the street, and he's holding his machzor in one hand. His glasses are on the tip of his nose, and he's holding a chicken for his kaparis in the other hand. And as he's crossing the street, he drops his machzor. The chicken is trying to get away, and his suspender snaps. And he's just, he can't, if he catches the chicken, he can't pick up the sitter, and he has to hold up his pants. And he's like, the world's caving in on him, and cars are coming from all different directions. And wherever he goes, and his glasses falls off, and so the man says to the Shemini Rav, so what happened to him? He says, what happened? He says, I don't know, but he's not there anymore. Like, he made it home.
He made it through the day and probably fasted.
He made it through the day. You know what I mean? There are situations, yeah, I just say to myself, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but I know I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So, okay, let's wait to see what Hashgacha has in store for me.
Yeah, sometimes when people are at an event where they, you know, where they're very, very nervous about their presentation, or they're, you know, worried about how things are going to go, sometimes they'll say to themselves, all right, in 3 hours it'll be over. It'll be over. We'll get past it. You know, we'll look back and start reflecting on how things went. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Let me off.
Definitely is a thing to borrow from the future, yes.
Say it again?
Borrow from the future.
I like that. I like that.
It's going to pass. It's going to pass. So borrow from that time. That's all.
Let me off in Brisbane. Now, I want to tell you something. This story, I imagine, has not happened to too many people, especially the way you describe it, but it's happened to almost everybody. What I mean is that when I read this story, which essentially is that the plane that you're on lands for an emergency landing or for an unscheduled landing in a specific airport, and a person who lives in that city says, let me off the plane. I'm a mile away from my house. And they say, no, you have to fly another 3 hours on the scheduled flight, which we're going to take off for soon, and then you have to go back and fly to where we are at, which is unbelievable. Again,
that is very common, by the way. That does happen.
Maybe more than I think, but when I read the story, I sort of felt like, even though this specifically doesn't happen to too many people, this happens to a lot of people. You know, when you're in that situation where it just makes no sense how things have worked out, you know, and you're saying to yourself, I cannot believe that. Oh, it's actually, as I think about it right now, I mean, I'm literally thinking of examples where especially with travel, where it makes no sense, or it's so frustrating that a road goes, you know, a certain distance and you can't get off because you, you know, it would be so much easier for you if you're able to, you know, exit 5 miles earlier, etc. Anyway, so what's the lesson from that story?
Like when the old GPS used to say, there's one of the roads on your route is closed. Do you want a different route? We say, no, I want the one that's closed. Why do they ask you that question? Right?
Are you allowed to be sarcastic with a GPS? I don't know what the rule is on that.
Oh, yeah. I like GPS. Yeah, they're good because I can make fun of those. Yeah.
But what?
GPSs don't get hurt. They just, yeah.
But what is the lesson, right? With your Baal Musser hat, what's the lesson from the Brisbane story?
So the Brisbane story was a flight to Australia. Obviously, Brisbane is in northern Australia. We were sitting on this plane for 15 hours. I kind of want to make it more dramatic than it was. The pilot just said that there's a storm and they would have to circle. The flight was scheduled to come into Sydney, and they said that the weather is really bad and they would have to circle. And this he didn't have to say. That didn't exactly do much for my for everybody.
Didn't
he said
well,
after 15 hours that we're basically out of gas, so we're going to land over here in Brisbane. So it wasn't an emergency landing, but he landed, and they said it would be about 3 hours till they refuel and check the plane. And this man behind me was all excited because he lives in Brisbane. He was going to fly to Sydney and then take a flight back.
Right.
And they told him, you're not getting off the plane. And he was not very happy. And he started screaming. And he said, you're trying to tell me. And he pointed to like a bunch of houses up some. He says, I live in that area. And he says, you're telling me that I'm going to sit here for 3 hours and fly to Melbourne to miss my connecting flight, to stay in a hotel, to come back here tomorrow night because you're not letting me off this plane? And I said to my wife, I said, well, what would a frum person think under this matzah,
right,
you know?
Right.
You would think. So she said to me, a frum person would figure out a way to get off that plane. Trust me.
They're way too savvy to be sitting on that plane for an extra 3 hours.
Right. Yeah. But I think there are times that we're someplace and we're not here because why we think we're here.
Right.
I think it happens very, very often.
Right.
I don't necessarily understand. Hashem mitzadei gever kainanu v'darkei yechpatz. A lot of times we think we're going someplace for a specific reason, and Hashem has a totally different reason for us to be there. And sometimes he has to let us know that there's a totally different reason for us to be there.
Right, but it's so much less frustrating. You know how sometimes, you know, 10 minutes later you realize why? Like 10 minutes later you say, oh, this is why God wanted me here at this time, or this is why. And then there's times you go through an entire lifetime and you never have the answer of why I was put, you know, in that situation. So when the answer is right there, it's wonderful. But when you have no clue and for years you wonder why that happened, it can be a little frustrating, you know.
Right, right. But the truth is, even if you say you were 10 minutes late and, you know, and there was an accident, chas v'shalom. So baruch Hashem, I missed the bus.
Right.
It doesn't really explain it, because God can make it that there's no accident.
Right. That's true.
So we don't really understand it. The truth is, we never, the real answer we get when we get up there, you know, after 120 years, we get up there and it's not like, well, here's 1,000 questions and we're going to go through answer by answer. It's like, right. Oh, of course.
See, that's why you're able to laugh at so much of this, in all seriousness. When your car is an hour late because the parking attendant is doing it, you're able to laugh because you realize that you nor anybody else is really in control. The whole thing is being controlled by the one above.
That's right. That's not an excuse for us not to
be the
best that we can be.
Of course.
But it has to be our established. But right. That's the trick. Trick is that we do what we do, and then God, you do what you do, and it has no connection to each other.
We say, Mensch trach Gott lacht. We'd be a little bit better we'd be better off if we did a little bit more lacht. You know, and realize that, you know, okay, you know, I give in. You're in charge. And
that's how you have to tracht. You have to tracht that. Take it easy. Relax.
Right.
You're in the back seat of the car. It was real tabby. You're not in the front seat of the car anyway.
Right.
You know, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, when he first came to America, somebody gave him a ride, and there were two steering wheels in front. And he asked, what's this? So the driver said that he put in apparently he was very savvy, and he put in a steering wheel on the other side. He said, it's not connected to anything. It's not connected to the axle of the car. But his kid sits in front. Those are the days your kid is allowed to sit in front. And he tells the kid, turn right, turn left.
Right.
You know, so the kid feels really good. He thinks he's driving.
Right.
Sort of Aaron said to him, and your steering wheel is the same way.
Oof.
You think you're driving.
Oh, powerful words. Pretty amazing. You know, you have a chapter here, coping with challenges. Give us a positive. There are a lot of people listening right now. A lot of people are going through some really difficult situations. And we don't know what stories are going to happen today, right? You wake up in the morning, you have no idea what's going to happen and what might inspire someone or what might be very painful for somebody. What could you tell us about coping with challenges and a good rule of thumb for people to keep in mind when life, you know, has your back against the wall?
Right. Just remember, it's not going to be dark forever, right? There's going to be a light following the darkness. But I find very often, and we've all had our share of being slapped in the face and bopped on the head and you know, facing existential threats, and I say, okay. My life was always in your hands. Nothing really changed now, except that you're showing me that my life is in your hands.
Right.
When a person focuses on that, I'm in your hands, Rabashan. I'm in your hands. Just guide me. I'm relinquishing control. I'm totally in your hands. And I think that eventually that it's Mo'ir Rachmim. It generates a kind of Rachmim in your life. There are things that we could say, which are like a school of Hatzila, Tzivos Shalom says, like, I want to have a good Shabbos. If I told you any crisis you were facing, chas v'shalom, and I told you, but Friday night comes and you're sitting with your family and you're making kiddush, you should know that you're going to be relaxed. You're going to be okay. You're going to have a good Shabbos. So you say, great, okay. So it'll be ups and downs before, and as long as I know it's going to be resolved, and that's always a good makar of tefillah, because you say, look, Hashem, you want me to have a good Shabbos, even though it's matzah Shabbos, even though it's Sunday morning, you want me to have a good Shabbos, okay? Just promise me and put this into my heart that when Friday night comes, this crisis is over, or I'll have a handle on it. I'll be able to enjoy my family. Yeah. And that's a very valid tefillah, because you want me to be happy on Shabbos. So I think that's always an angle to be able to come in on.
I love it.
There are things we don't understand.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we, by the way, there are a lot of people who emulate, as we're supposed to do. We're supposed to behave like our Father, like the one above. And there are a lot of people who, if they have bad news or they have a challenging situation to discuss with somebody, they'll say, you know what, it's Friday, it's Erev Shabbos, I'm not gonna stare their Shabbos, so to speak. It could wait. And look,
the story about, you know, the horrible, terrific tragedy last Friday night in Ramot, and they're saying what went on, but that Sheva Brachas, that they made up that they're not going to discuss it over Shabbos, so it doesn't stare the Shabbos, it doesn't stare the simple class of Akala. It's just, it's often, it's like no one should ever be tested, but like Mikamcha Yisrael. It's just off the charts.
Yeah, hard for us to fathom, that's for sure. It's an amazing combination of humor and inspiration, and a lot of the humor leads to so much incredible inspiration. Everybody out there, Rabbi Fishel Schachter, as you heard, just he's wonderful. The book is entitled "Did This Ever Happen to You?" And as you read the book, you'll see just how appropriate a title that is, because some of these things, as you get to know Rabbi Schachter through the book, you're going to say to yourself, I think this stuff only happens to him. Did this ever happen to you? Go to artscroll.com, use promo code radio, and enjoy the brand new book by Rabbi Fishel Schachter. Rabbi Schachter, an absolute delight speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And
thank you so much. You know, I was once someplace for Shabbos, and someone said to me, I can't wait to hear what happened over here.
Wait a second. I hope something significant happened this morning. Maybe we'll make it into a story.
Who knows?
You never know is right. Thank you so
That's
much.
Right.
And good luck with the book.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Nachum. I really appreciate it.
A pleasure. My official Schachter. Did this ever happen to you on JM in the AM?